Good morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team at Prudential Now Realty, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank our hosts and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. So, Brad, you're taking care of us today.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks.
It's been a while. This is like old school Tri-Cities Real Estate
Update. Yeah, I guess so. Old school. You've been on for about three, four. It's been a while. Five months?
Yeah, we're coming on 5 months at least. Nice. So, yeah, it's been going great.
Well, I know you're getting a good response because we get people calling in about the show, so that's good.
Well, I can appreciate that. Well, it's great to have you filling in for John. We appreciate you stepping in. And we also have with us today our insurance expert, Ryan Sullivan with State Farm. Ryan, how's it going?
Today is a wonderful day.
Very good. So I always like to start off with what's happened in the news and how we can relate that to real estate. And what happened this week is really pretty significant for first-time home buyers. What's happened is we've had the city of Kennewick. They've lifted the boundary lines on their down payment assistance program. So for people that have looked in the past, it was pretty difficult to use those programs because there was just a limited part of like East Kennewick and a few other sections where people could actually purchase and make use of that money. Well, what was happening is because of that, they were not getting enough people utilizing the program. So they've gone ahead now, lifted the boundary lines, and so you can use down payment assistance money and what's called gap loan financing anywhere in the city of Kennewick. And so that's huge, the whole city.
Anywhere.
Yeah, anywhere in Kennewick. There's no boundaries anymore. And so how the gap loan works is this is the city's 0% loan program. It's not forgivable. It has to be repaid. But this allows you to use what's called gap financing to help you get a down payment and then get into a home. Really helpful for first-time home buyers. And so this kind of just opens up this program all over the city of Kennewick, gives us a lot more options for people that are wanting to be in different areas, and really is just one of those great programs that's available that we can help people with. So for us in the news, that was huge. How about on the insurance front? Can you relate anything in the local news to your business, Ryan?
Well, recently there was an apartment complex, or maybe a fourplex, that caught on fire in Kennewick.
No, I read about that in the paper. Okay.
And currently four families are displaced due to the fire, and nobody will know when they'll get to move back into the place after it gets rebuilt. And this segues into what I want to talk about. But if you're currently renting, get renter's insurance, please, because if something does happen that way, the insurance company, in addition to protecting your stuff, will also put you up in the Holiday Inn until your place is back together.
So that makes sense. So here you've got families that were just renting a fourplex or renting an apartment unit, probably, I don't know, maybe never even thought about getting rental insurance. And so in a fire situation like that, you're saying that some of that insurance will cover hotel costs or temporary place to live?
Correct. Yeah, it's dirt cheap. You're anywhere from $10 to $11 a month is the average cost for renter's insurance. So it's less than a family would pay to go to McDonald's for lunch. And what it does is it protects your property. So all of your stuff, furniture, clothes, dishes, electronics, the insurance company is obligated to buy you new stuff, and also it'll pay for what's called additional living expenses, meaning if your home is uninhabitable due to a loss, they'll pay for costs that you wouldn't have incurred had you been living in the home. So it'd be hotel costs, it'd be meal money potentially, quarters to do your laundry potentially, extra transportation expense to and from work depending on where you're staying or where you've been displaced to.
So it's a good thing to have for, if there's minor issues that happen, but especially for the big thing, the fire or something like that.
Right. Well, I mean, it's going to cover fire, or if pipes break in your house, your apartment becomes full of water. Or, the thing that scares me the most is you don't necessarily know who your neighbor is if you live in an apartment complex or a fourplex. And if they're doing some crazy things, their actions can drastically affect your life.
Yeah.
And renter's insurance will cover that.
Well, that makes huge. So Another thing, too, I mean, immediately I start to think that for landlords, too, it's not a bad idea to have the tenants, you know, have that just because you're covering some of your liability also. You know, if they, you know, if you have to, you're not providing the shelter you agreed to contractually, so.
Well, correct. And what renters need to know, and landlords actually as well, is landlord's insurance won't cover their tenants' stuff.
Right.
And if a tenant were to cause severe damage to a place, the landlord's insurance is going to come out and repair it, right? But then the landlord's insurance company is going to try and recover the funds that they've used to repair from the tenant.
Mm-hmm.
And the liability portion of the renter's contract will have money in there to pay the landlord's insurance company back, which keeps the tenant out of collections.
Okay.
Or having their bank accounts garnished in the court system, effectively.
Well, perfect. So great. So there we have it, folks. Real life experience, things that are happening right now here in the Tri-Cities, and then relating that back to our topics. That's really what we like to try to do here on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. And just kind of to give some education, one of the things we're here to talk about today is to talk with Ryan about ways that you can lower your homeowner's insurance cost, make sure you have the proper coverage. But another thing that gets back to kind of the basics with contracts that I wanted to talk about is, when you write a purchase and sale agreement and you agree to purchase a house, one of the things that comes up is what's called contingencies. Now, these are the addendums at the back of this agreement, and sometimes, you know, a lot of people don't have a basic understanding of what is a contingency and how does that work? How does that affect the agreement? So to come back to that, we got to go back kind of to some of the basics. When you write a contract like that, and we write a real estate contract, we usually take earnest money from the buyers. Now, this is a deposit that a buyer makes as kind of a good faith effort and consideration for the contract that they're going to perform as per the contract, and then that will be applied to them at closing. It's also a protection for sellers in the case of a default, meaning a non-contingent reason that a buyer backs out or walks away. However, there are a lot of contingencies in a contract that can cause a buyer to get this money back. And it's also a protection mechanism for a buyer. So one of the first contingencies that we have when we write a contract, and that's standard in all of the contracts we write at the Kenmore team, is we have what's called, actually, this kind of segues into Ryan here, is we have what's called a homeowner insurance addendum. So what this means, and the way this contract is written, is it's right in there as a contingency that says, this agreement, the contract to purchase the house, is conditioned upon the buyer obtaining a binder for a standard policy of homeowner's property insurance on the property. And it actually even stipulates that they have to get that binder at an annual premium not to exceed 0.5% of the purchase price. So if someone's buying a $100,000 house, they have to get a binder and a policy that's not more than $500 a year, or they would be able to back out of this agreement. So, Ryan, explain that to us a little bit from your standpoint. I mean, this is kind of the basis of maybe how a lot of clients get into your office. What's happening and what do these clients need to do to get to meet this contingency? What do the buyers need to know to get this binder, and how are they going to go about that process with you?
Well, to get a binder, it just means the house has to be in acceptable condition for the insurance company. Generally, okay. We're going to look at things like the roof, you know, the quality of the structure, and generally, if it'll meet the HUD guidelines, it's going to be more than acceptable from an insurance standpoint.
Okay.
And also, that means the consumer is eligible for insurance with a certain carrier, meaning that with the consumer, you're looking at things like previous loss histories are the biggest.
Okay.
So if a client has no losses, then most insurers will take them. If there's one or two losses, each company is going to have different underwriting criteria.
Okay. So this 0.5%, is that a pretty good standard that you think people should go by when looking at their homeowners policies?
I think in the past it could have been more predictable, but now the way insurers are writing, there's so many different components to the formula.
Okay.
That I can't predict what a premium will be. It's going to be based on the age of the house.
I was just going to ask you, what are some of the things that could kick this contingency out where someone might not be able to get it for that price?
You know, in my experience, I've never seen somebody not be able to get the one half of 1%. To use your example, on a $100,000 home, a $500 home premium is more than fair.
Gotcha.
Now, the only if there is somebody who's had two or three claims in their history, an insurer may not want to carry them, where they may end up going to a high risk carrier, then it might exceed that one half of 1%.
Okay.
You know, but generally, with especially with the lending guidelines being so tight now, and with you know, HUD guidelines as far as the ability to sell the market and sell the home, the stuff that you would deal with as far as repairing roofs, repairing porches, making sure that everything is okay.
Gotcha.
It should be, I would say that it should be fine.
Okay, perfect. So if for some reason, you know, that it didn't meet this requirement, that is why we have a contingency. And a lot of buyers are sometimes hesitant about this, or, you know, are worried about, you know, that they're protected in a contract. And that's really what these contingencies are for. For instance, I mean, I know I've heard stories in the industry about if a house has like a previous water claim on the house, can that affect the value of future insurance rates?
The claim's going to follow the consumer more so than the house.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So the people that are going to get affected are the ones that were living in the house.
Gotcha.
When the claim happened.
Okay, perfect.
You know, but the biggest things with when you look at pricing of homeowners insurance, the two biggest components are how much insurance are we putting on the structure.
Okay.
Meaning a bigger house potentially could cost more to insure, and the age of the home.
Gotcha, and the age of the home.
And, you know, it's just building codes have changed, and we generally know as insurance people, on a newer home, there's a way less likelihood of having a claim than on a home that was built in, say, the 50s.
Okay, that makes sense. And so from contractually, for the people that are out there listening and thinking about this, what happens is say something is wrong or somebody has had too many claims, and you come back and, you know, the homeowner's insurance policy is just too much for that buyer to afford. What happens is there's language in our contracts that specifically says if the buyer's unable to obtain a binder after making a good faith effort in a timely manner, then the agreement shall terminate and the earnest money is refunded to the buyer. So what happens is this is just another protection that's in there for buyers and allows them not to put their entire earnest money at risk. And a lot of times, you know, sellers, you know, may not know about that. The buyers themselves may not know that all of these factors are affecting value. And so this is just a way that it's protection for the buyers that are purchasing these houses. Now, on the other aspect, a seller needs to know that until a lot of these contingencies are waived, you know, we do have an unknown and a risk out there. I mean, you know, your house isn't sold until it closes. And so it's you need to evaluate some of these contingencies and really take a look at those. But from a buyer's perspective, before we have to go to break, Ryan, what are some of the other factors that when they do come to your office, I've got a client that's, you know, just gone under contract on a house, I send them to you to get the homeowner's insurance, what do they need to be concerned about to save some money on their homeowner's insurance and not pay too much?
The big thing is going to be the age of house, how much insurance, and which plays into are you buying a house that's a little too big for you.
Okay.
As far as your budget is concerned. And then ultimately, you know, getting your insurance all in the same place for a long period of time generally will look favorable upon your rates.
Gotcha.
And then there's more to come.
More to come. Okay, perfect. Well, we've been talking about contingencies on contracts today, how to protect yourself, both the buyer and the seller, what you need to know about the purchase and sale agreement, and also how you can get proper homeowner's insurance, save a little money, but more importantly, make sure you're protected. So after the break, we'll be back with a few more tips from Ryan Sullivan at State Farm Insurance. Ryan, real quickly, how can people get a hold of you if they have more questions?
My office number is 783-0172.
Once again, that's Ryan Sullivan of State Farm Insurance. And also we have with us, as always, Lance Kenmore of the Kenmore team. And we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back real quick. Lance has his pick of the week this week. That's coming up next on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update on News Talk 870 KFLD. We're back on your Saturday morning with the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've got in studio today Lance Kenmore and also Ryan Sullivan, of course, your experts that we have every Saturday morning with the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Now, we're coming back from break, and one thing you like to do every week, Lance, is do your pick of the week. Usually you do three, but we're going to do one this week. And
we're going to do one this week. We have a ton of content with contingencies and homeowners insurance, so I thought I'd throw one in that's just too screaming of a deal. that I just couldn't pass up. And this pick, I mean, it's just head and shoulders above the rest. So this is a brand new listing that we just put on the market. If people are looking to capitalize on the tax credits, we're down to only about 27 days left that we can utilize those. This home is it. It's located at 107 48th Avenue in Kennewick. This is a three-bedroom, two-bath Rambler, but it also has an office and a bonus room. It's just over 2,000 square feet. The cool part about this house, too, is it has a three-car garage, and then the owner went ahead and he built, like, a shop, an additional shop, all permitted, done professionally. It's just amazing, at the back of the third bay. And then, just to top it off, he ran cable back there, heat and air. I mean, guys, this is the man cave. I mean, it is so awesome back there. Goes out to the garage, and then he can just chill out there and hide out. All of this, and this house is priced at $185,000. I mean, in this price range and this neighborhood, we are priced the best. I guarantee it at $89 a square foot for a house that was built in '99. So. Beautiful. I mean, it's just a fabulous property. We don't expect it to last long. And so if you haven't seen this property or want to, please call your agent or call myself directly at 727-8977. So we've been talking a little bit about ways that you can save money on homeowners insurance, but more importantly, save money, but at the same time, make sure you're properly covered. And I know that comes as a, you know, that's a huge thing when it comes down to actually needing the insurance. So, I mean, I'll let you talk about this, Ryan. You're the expert. What do you mean by being covered properly?
There are different areas of coverage inside of a homeowner's policy, meaning that there's structural coverage, there's liability coverage, there's coverage for your personal property. And there are different ways insurers can wrap that coverage, meaning that they can right into the contract, we won't cover all of this stuff if this happens, or we will cover it, but only if it's these three things, or we'll cover everything. And each contract is different by nature.
Gotcha.
And so making sure that you have the right contract is, in my mind, more appropriate than getting the cheapest contract,
that
because there's
sense.
A very, very high likelihood that if you get the bare bones cheapest contract and something happens to your place or your stuff, you're going to call the insurance company and they're going to say, sorry.
Right.
And so you've spent, you know, $300 or $400 a year on something that gives you virtually no coverage when you could have spent maybe $350 or $450 on something that would have paid. And so in theory, you kind of stepped over a dollar to pick up a dime.
Right. And that makes sense. And I think you said another important thing in there is, you know, when you call your agent. Now, when your clients have a problem, who do they call?
Me.
They call you, and you're here and available, and you work. I mean, I know it's strange for insurance, but you work in Tri-Cities, right? You might even live here?
I do.
You just don't do commercials?
Nope, and I look better than a gecko, at least I like to think so.
Okay, good. Good. So, no, I think that's huge, you know, that you know, especially when your basement's full of water or something. I mean, I know I'm going to call you.
Well, and, you know, there's something to be said for that, and when people have a loss, whether they crash their car in the middle of Columbia Center Boulevard on a Friday afternoon, or their basement's full of water, or bad things are happening, clear thinking is about as far away as it can get.
Gotcha.
And that's why I'm here. It's just take a step back, stop, think, here's what we're going to do.
Okay.
My commitment to my clients is to have somebody on site inside of an hour from when I know about their loss.
That's fabulous.
Meaning if
wow.
you've got a basement full of water, or you've got a kitchen full of water, or you've had a fire, if one of the restoration companies we work with can't be there, I will be there personally.
Oh, that's fabulous. I love it. Okay, so now that we've got the proper insurance, what's the next thing that we need to worry about?
As far as ways to save money, first thing and foremost is to insure your house properly with the right value.
Okay.
Meaning that you've got a lot of different numbers floating around. You've got the purchase price of the home. You've got the amount that you're borrowing. Insurance companies use an entirely different formula to calculate how much insurance we want on the home because the real estate value includes the land underneath. Insurance companies don't insure the dirt or the lot or the view or any of that.
Right, so that makes sense. I mean, when I sell somebody a $250,000 house, it's actually, you know, let's just say a $200,000 house on a $50,000 piece of dirt.
Correct. So I technically only want to insure the $200,000 to replace what could be lost, meaning if we had a total loss fire or we have a total loss of some sorts, I need enough money in the cookie jar to come back out to get you a new version of your house.
That makes sense. I don't think a lot of people even think about that when they're buying insurance.
Right, and to use an example, if you have a $50,000 structure on, say, a 10 or 15 acre lot that's got a view, you may be a $300,000 or $400,000 piece of real estate, but I only need to put $50,000 of insurance on the structure because I don't insure the real estate that goes with it.
That makes a lot of sense.
And where we can hit a snag is the lender might be lending $250,000 on that piece of real estate, and they may require $250,000 of insurance.
So you're kind of double checking what the lender's needs are with the client's needs and kind of reviewing that whole package.
Right. I'm looking at it from an entirely different angle, and no angle is right or wrong. It's just we want to make sure that we're insuring things appropriately, and you need to list and sell houses for the right price, and the lender needs to make sure that the bank is protected.
That makes a lot of sense. Now you're telling me how to do my job, list and sell at the right price. So that makes sense.
Hey, that's what I'm here for.
That's what we like to do. So we've been talking about contingencies in contracts and how to protect yourself with your homeowner's insurance. One of the next things I really wanted to touch on is the financing contingency. We've heard Mr. Scott Ridgway with Cobalt Mortgage. He couldn't be with us today, but we've heard him talk a lot about this. One of the biggest contingencies that we see in our contracts has to do with financing. I mean, it makes sense. You got to get the money to buy the house. So unless it's a cash sale, you are going to be contingent upon that financing. And with what's been going on with lending and review times with underwriting, and as that process has lengthened out over the last couple months as we deal with new regulations and laws, it's important to note sometimes for buyers as well as sellers that a lot of times, you know, the package is done up, you get a pre-approval letter, which the pre-approval letter is a good indication that you've checked everything out to the best of your knowledge, ran credit, but it's not the final say. So a lot of times what happens is this package gets done up, all the information collected, and then it's sent off to what's called underwriting. At that point, then the underwriters are making a decision about, do we need more information? You know, they might find something in the past history of a client that doesn't fit their guidelines. And at that point, the loan can still be denied. Now, Scott has a lot of great tools to help deal with this, a lot of pre-screening stuff and some in-house underwriters. But if the loan is denied at that point, which sometimes can be 15 or 20 days out, once again, you have a contingency that you were not able to get financing, and so the buyer is not going to be able to purchase the house. So there's some things you can do to protect yourself. One of them is the date range that you use. A lot of times it's standard in our contracts that you're giving the buyer 30 days to have a full loan commitment from their lender. So what that means is after that 30-day period, the seller, if they are not satisfied with what they've heard from the lender, they haven't heard back yet, the seller does have some power at that point, and they can terminate the agreement anytime 3 days after delivery notice to the buyer. Now, the buyer can choose at this point to waive the contingency and risk going forward, where they might put their earnest money at risk, or if they don't think they can waive the contingency, then they can cancel, you know, they can let the agreement cancel, let the seller cancel it. But in this instance, once again, they're going to get the earnest money back because it was a contingency. So it's just a lot about knowing what protections are in the contract, how they're written, and kind of balancing that protection out for the buyer and helping the seller know what is guaranteed and what is not at the same time. So it's just important as you go through this stuff, as I'm sure it is with homeowners insurance, that you're kind of reviewing the contract, asking the right questions. And if you have any questions about any of this, you can contact me once again anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977. And I know, Ryan, we have just a couple more minutes here, so I'll let you wrap up. Just give us a few more tips if you have some here about what we need to look for with our homeowner's policy.
One of the biggest things I see, if you've been in your home more than 5 years, double-check the amount of coverage you have on your house.
Okay.
Insurance companies are going to put an inflation factor on that every year in, year out.
You know, I've heard that. In fact, a neighbor came to me a couple days ago and said that, you know, they got their new escrow balance and they realized that their insurance company was getting like $200 or $300 more than they had in the past. It just all happened automatically.
If homeowners insurance is billed through escrow, it's like your property taxes. There's going to be somebody at the bank that takes care of that for you.
Gotcha.
And once a year, they're going to write a check to your homeowners insurance company, and then also they'll pay your property taxes twice a year and whatever else is in your escrow. And so the insurance company will send the renewal notice to the client as well. But if your house is anything like mine, you get 56 pieces of mail every day, and half of it's junk. So you still got a pile of 30 envelopes you got to sort through. You know, and stuff tends to get set aside, or we'll get to it when we get to it. And homeowners renewals are like that. It's just automatic. And so if you haven't checked in 4 or 5 years, call your agent. You're welcome to call me. Happy to rerun a replacement cost calculator, make sure your coverage is right. So A, you've got the house insured appropriately, but B, making sure you're getting discounts and so on and so forth, so you're spending your money wisely.
That makes a lot of sense. And I think it's also important to remind people that as soon as you've written a purchase and sale agreement to purchase a house, more than likely you have in there a homeowner's insurance addendum that's requiring you to make application for this homeowner's policy within 5 days. So if you've recently written an application and you don't know which direction you're headed yet with your homeowner's insurance, I would definitely encourage you to call Ryan, give him a shot at taking a look, and more importantly, just setting you up with a policy that you know you're going to be protected with.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, and with homeowner's insurance, especially in the home buying process, there's tons of moving parts. You're trying to chase down tax returns and pay stubs and bank statements, and you've got your real estate agent working with you, and you got the mortgage lender working with you, and somebody's going to say, oh, by the way, pick up a home policy. You know, I would say 75% of the home insurance policies that we see in a purchase transaction don't get reviewed.
Gotcha.
It's just send it to the lender, get it done. They're checking off boxes. You know, and people literally are committing to contracts worth hundreds of thousands of dollars without ever reading them.
So a lot of times these folks you're saying aren't even meeting with you.
It's done over the phone with the TV on, or it's checking boxes. I personally review homeowners policies before they go out my front door.
And so you're going to prefer that these folks take the time to come meet with you during this process.
Yeah, at least get together.
Gotcha.
Yeah, in theory, you're entering into a contract with multiple thousands of dollars at risk, and I would encourage people to know what they're getting.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Ryan, as always, I appreciate you coming down to be our insurance expert, help the listeners out there save some money, protect their homes. And then for the people that are entering into contracts and buying, if you have any question about the contingencies we've talked about today, we only got through really two or three of them. There's about seven more I could go over. And we'd love to sit down and explain those with you. So once again, Ryan, how can folks contact you directly to review their homeowners policies and make sure they're getting the best deal?
My office number is 783-0172.
And you can contact myself, Lance Kenmore, directly on my cell at 727-8977, or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com, and we've got a link over to Ryan's site also, so feel free to link over that way. And we will see you guys next week right here on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update.
All right. Thanks, Lance. Thanks, Ryan, for coming in. And if you guys have any questions, whether it's about what we talked about today or any questions as far as buying a home or insurance, make sure to give these guys a call. They are our experts. So we'll be talking again next week. Do you know what you're talking about next week on the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update?
You know what? We are going to have some great tips just in honor of the spring market, how hot things have been around here. We're really going to talk about what you should be getting when you list your home for sale, what you should be looking at to maximize your return, and really take advantage of the spring market.
All right, there you go. Next week, 9 o'clock, every single Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870 KFLD, Lance Kenmore and the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update.